It's not like a gambling brain. All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of March to Madness here on the Overtime Sports Network. This is episode 3. We haven't came to you with an episode in quite some time. I think Nichols said earlier it's been 5 weeks since we last talked college basketball. So a lot has happened since then. But I, of course, am your host, Kyle Gagliardi, alongside the two usual suspects to my right, Aaron Oros. Aaron, how are you?
Had to bring out the hard stuff for this episode after that 5 week stretch of IU basketball. So,
what's in the glass tonight?
Eagle Rare. I haven't opened this bottle in months.
That's the half gallon bottle you bought, right?
Oh yeah, and I've been saving it for as long as I possibly could.
For a special occasion,
right? And this is just purely not for necessarily a special occasion, but a depressing.
Oh, okay, you act like the world's on fire right now.
Oh my god.
We'll get into it right away. Below us, you hear him giggling down below. Zach Nickel. Nickel, how are you doing?
All right.
We got a big snowstorm coming here to Northwest Indiana, apparently.
It's that time of year. I know it's supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year, but man, this fucking week has sucked. So I'm just writing it out, and now we have a whole bunch of snow coming, and I have to be in Chicago tomorrow, so I just can't.
Oh, they're still making you make the trip.
Yeah, but I'm staying up there, so we'll see how I get back on either Friday or
maybe
Saturday.
Maybe you never get back.
I was going to say, Nickel will not be home for Christmas.
Maybe you just stay there.
Wow.
Yeah, just hunker down in downtown Chicago. I heard it's one of the safest cities in America.
Yeah, it's up by O'Hare, whatever.
Whenever people ask let's talk
basketball.
Well, we will talk basketball, but I feel like now that I became a full-time sales rep, everybody asks me, how you doing? I'm like, well, just trying to survive the holidays. And I feel like once you get to this age, that's basically what it's come down to. But yeah, we got a lot of college basketball to talk about, and how we start every single episode of March to Madness is talking about the Indiana Hoosiers, because all three of us are IU grads. And it's been a while since we've done a show, and a while since we've publicly been able to discuss what's going on with our alma mater. But this is how we're going to start it this week, and how we started every week: Indiana basketball. And the Hoosiers are 9-3 currently, 1-2 in their last three games, losing to Arizona in Las Vegas, which you two were live in attendance for. And of course, their most recent loss being to Kansas at Kansas, which was their first top 20 or their top, or, God, I can't even word this right. Their first 20 point or more loss to a top 25 team since 2009. And of course, they took on Elon last night without Trayce Jackson-Davis and Xavier Johnson. But let's go all the way back to that Arizona matchup, because like I said, you guys were there and got to experience it in Las Vegas. First off, let's not even talk about the game. How was your guys' trip, and what was it like being there for that game? What was the crowd like?
90% IU fans. I mean that was a home game. I mean, that basically felt like a home game. The casino, I mean, you literally couldn't look anywhere without seeing IU people. I mean, it was absolutely insane. It literally felt like you were in assembly hall. The environment was nuts. Everybody was ready to go. They had no reason to not be jazzed for that game, because the IU people were there, and they were there in droves. Arizona had like a little section behind the bench, but really that place was littered with IU fans. The environment was incredible. The IU, how they played, not so much, but we could talk about that here in a second. But in terms of the environment, I mean, it was incredible.
Yeah, Nickel, you said it kind of felt like a tournament atmosphere there in Las Vegas, wasn't it?
I mean, going into that stadium, like everybody, like I said, like Aaron said, everybody coming from this casino, it's Vegas, everybody's been drinking. I kind of figured that atmosphere would just.
Is he cutting in and out for you, Aaron?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Cutting in and out.
Yeah, that's what happens when you go live. Yeah, yes. You're good now. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I was just saying, like Aaron said, the atmosphere was awesome. I was glad we went, even though they lost, but that was just crazy, just because it was in Vegas. Everybody was drinking, and I don't know how IU, me and Colton, we saw them coming out of the hotel tower, and they saw all the IU fans line up for him and cheer him on. I was like, I don't know how they just came out so flat against Arizona and, you know, gave up a 17-0 run at one point.
Yeah, the start wasn't ideal, and that seems to be a common trend with IU. A lot of seasons, and especially this year, getting off to those slow starts, and that's why they were behind the eight ball against Arizona, and they were behind against Kansas, and they never seemed to turn things around. That was the one positive, though, Aaron, that came out at least from the Arizona game, is that there was a little bit of fight there. Granted, they still didn't come to play as a team, but it was the opposite in the Kansas game, because once Kansas took control against IU, they never looked back. And yes, it's a tough atmosphere to play in, but once again, you saw these tweets and these reports that the Hoosier fans traveled well on the road once again. So imagine spending your well-earned money buying a ticket to go to Kansas, support the team, and or Las Vegas, and they lay two eggs in primetime against top 25 teams. And there's probably multiple reasons why they lost these games. But for you, Aaron, what have been the struggles and the standout for you of why Indiana is struggling against these top teams?
Well, it started before this. Listen, for whatever reason, IU has, despite the change in head coaches, IU has the same culture and the same issues that they always have for the last, you know, since probably Yogi left. They, you know, granted the North Carolina win doesn't seem that big now with how they played, but you know, you beat North Carolina at home and then you come out flat on the road next game and not only lose to Rutgers, but get blown out. That same old IU. That's something that I saw and I'm like, you know, losing on the road in the Big Ten, a lot of people be like, well, that's going to happen, but that seems to happen way too often with them, especially coming off a big win. But then going into Arizona, they played no defense. I mean, this is a team that statistically was one of the best defensive teams in the country, and they – Arizona got whatever they wanted. I mean, literally anything and everything that they wanted. Open threes, got them. Now, the officiating wasn't great.
The Arizona game was not good.
No, it was not.
It was pretty bad.
And I know that, you know, that can be momentum killers when you're trying to come back and you get some bad calls against you. I understand that. But this IU team shouldn't have gave up 90 points. I don't care who they're playing against. I mean, that's bad. And then, you know, I think the big thing here is also Trace Jackson Davis not coming to play against not only just a big team, but a good big man in Ballo. It just, you know, Trace Jackson Davis is one of the best IU players ever. I'm not discrediting what he's done, but it just seems, especially the last couple of years, it's been a reoccurring theme when IU either plays against a big-time opponent or plays against a team that has a really good big guy, he could shut out. And he was a no-show in that game. And they cannot afford for him to be a no-show if they're going to beat top 25 teams like Arizona and Kansas.
Especially with Xavier Johnson going down in that Kansas game, who's arguably their second-best player.
Right. And, you know, the Kansas game, they just had no life. I mean, that looked like a team that just didn't want to be there. And that cannot happen. That part of that's on Mike Woodson. I mean, as a coach, you got to have your team ready to play. You know, if they lost to Kansas at a close one on the road, but they fought their asses off, then that's one thing. You know, it is what it is. But both games, just poor defense. Really bad defense on both ends. I mean, both teams were getting whatever they wanted. And then just no fight, no drive or anything. So it's discouraging. But like we saw in the Elon game, maybe guys like CJ Gunn, Logan Duncombe are going to get more playing time, and you know, maybe that'll spark some people to start playing a little harder, but it's just the same old stuff that I know we all have been accustomed to for the last handful of years. And I'm not saying that they're not going to make the tournament, or I'm not saying that it's not irreversible, because it is. Effort is very easily irreversible, but we'll see. I mean, they play at Iowa at some point. I think that's going to be their next big game, right?
Anybody's big one. Yeah.
Okay. So, good time to prove if they want to turn the season around, that I feel like they got to go into Iowa and get a win.
Well, so, I mean, Iowa just lost to, what was it, Eastern Illinois, who was a 32.5-point underdog at Iowa. So if they are capable of going in there, and granted, I'm sure Iowa overlooked them. It was a holiday game and whatnot. Still no excuses. That team was, you know, far superior than Eastern Illinois. So IU is definitely capable of doing it. It's just from what we've seen, like you said, Aaron, look at the Rutgers game in Big Ten on the road. Not great. And Nickel, Aaron really touched on a lot of the reasons why IU is struggling. Is there anything that you maybe want to add on to what you saw from that Arizona game and the Kansas game that is a big reason why the Hoosiers struggle against top teams?
I don't know, like, even going back, I know, like we said, we haven't had a show in a while, ever since, you know, before that North Carolina game. And that North Carolina game actually was, a lot closer than what actually we saw on the floor. I think IU dominated that game. Mm-hmm. I think North Carolina had a lot more free throws, so that's why it kept it kind of close. And I don't know what happened after that North Carolina game. You know, that following Saturday, only scoring, 48 points? At Rutgers, I mean, that just can't happen if you are expected to be a top 25 team and, you know, make a run in the tournament. And then, you know, they bounce back, at Nebraska. Nebraska was without one of their best players.
We were without JAS in that game as well.
Yeah, so. But, like, winning there, you're like, okay, maybe they'll pick it back up. You know, you're going to Las Vegas, great neutral site game against Arizona. And then, you know, Aaron, we get there and it's mostly IU fans. They're like, okay, they should be pumped up. They should be ready to go, you know.
Home away from home.
Yeah, keep this game close at least, you know, right off the crowd's energy. And they just looked, awful. It was just like we were sitting there at one point, like I said, when they went on that 17-0 run. And we're like, what the hell is going on? Like, they just look like they didn't want to be there. Like, how do you, you know, fly out to Las Vegas, play against Arizona? You just look like you don't want to be there. And then there was three times where they cut the lead to either 5 or 3.
Yeah.
And then Arizona would call timeout. And then Arizona came on, you know, 7-0 run right off the bat. And I think that's a little bit coaching too, is because obviously Tommy Lloyd outcoached Mike Woodson in that game by a long shot. So, you know, and IU was hitting their shots. They did kind of hit their shots that game, and then especially down the stretch, but then their defense just didn't hold up. And like we said with Trace, there's just times too where he just doesn't look like he wants to be there. Like, why did I come back to IU? Why did I come back for my senior year? Like, it just looks at times where he was so active at social media early in the year, and he really isn't now. Like, saying how good we're going to be, this team is special. And then recently, I mean, I've looked within the past month or so, just nothing. So
no roadkill tweets from Chase Jackson Davis recently.
Yeah, I really don't know what's going on with him. He just, even, you know, we saw him live in Vegas and saw him right past. He just looked dead in the eyes. I don't know if he was sick or whatever, what he's dealing with. But, you know, after this, I forgot who they play on Friday, another crapshoot game. But
it's Kennesaw State. Yeah.
Yeah. They have a 2-week break until they play that Iowa game on January 5th. So that's a long break. So hopefully, you know, they can spend some time with their families, get a little bit re-energized, come back to school for second semester. And, you know, it's going to get tough here. I mean, in the Big Ten, there's a lot of teams I didn't expect to be up there. You know, one of them being Purdue. They're the number one team. So, you know, IU was projected to be good favorites in the Big Ten. And right now they're looking maybe 5th or 6th in the Big Ten. So they need to get back on track.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of your points. And definitely coaching is – something you definitely need to critique here, because like you said, in that Arizona game, they were hitting shots. The defensive energy wasn't there. The adjustments weren't being made. Granted, they did adjust to that initial run at the beginning of the game. But after that, and of course, the bad calls, like Aaron alluded to, kind of affected momentum a little bit. But you still got to be able to fight through adversity and figure it out, especially if you're going to make a deep run come March, which they weren't able to do. But you talk about, you know, Trace Jackson Davis and if he was sick or even if he's healthy, because we saw him being held out here against Elon last night. And granted, they didn't need him in this game. Elon is a terrible basketball team, but it is worrisome. And hopefully, like you said, Nickel, that 2-week break, they can, you know, get a little bit more healthy. I know Jordan Geronimo had his hand taped up on the bench last night as well. That's why he didn't get many minutes, but and going off that, the health concerns, Xavier Johnson, who was seen in a boot after the Kansas game, reports are that he will be out indefinitely after undergoing surgery today for an injury that he suffered that past Saturday. So they're hopeful he can return. There's no definitive timetable on when he will, but they are hoping by the end of the season that he'll be ready to go. But regardless, that seems like a huge loss going into Big Ten play. And we know you can get good Xavier, you can get bad Xavier. Maybe he's out of control from time to time, but that senior leadership, he's been in Big Ten games before. He knows how to get things done in the crunch time. That's going to be a huge loss for IU going forward.
Well, it is, but at the same time, what was one thing that we were, you know, praising to be before the year started? Depth. So guys are going to have to step up. And then senior leadership, I mean, they got plenty of that. I mean, you got Race, you got Trace, you got Miller Kopp. Shout out Miller Kopp, who actually has kind of been their best player.
Credit to him.
the last, I mean, he had an abysmal year last year, and I'm sure he would even admit that, but he has come to play this year. He has been doing really well. And then
Jamar Bates has been good as well.
He has. He's just been lazy on defense. But and then Hushifino, he scored 17 points last night. I think he'll start to blossom. And now with Xavier out, I think he's really going to blossom into that starting point guard role. So I'm happy about that. I think CJ Gunn's got to get more playing time.
We saw it last night, and granted, it was against Elon, but he's playing with confidence and energy, which is and Logan Duncan too. And I'm not saying Logan Duncan should get more minutes, but he brought energy to the floor, and that's exactly what this team needs. Nickel is just somebody to come in and want to win, because even Woodson has brought it up to the media. He commented on Malik Renau. He said his energy and his motor isn't where he wants it to be.
No, I mean, you can see even with Malik, those first few games where they were playing shit competition, he was dominating. Like, we're like, oh, this guy must be special. But then it seems like when, you're playing these guys that are, maybe future NBA players, he just doesn't have that the same. And I think that's something, he'll grow with. He's not a one-and-done player. I'm assuming if he doesn't transfer, he'll be with us for at least 3 years. So, and then going back to, like, Miller Kopp, I mean, that's – he's been stepping up, and he's been shooting 45.9% from three.
Wow.
And then Tamar Bates is right there after him at 41.5. So, those two guys are hitting the three ball, and you love to see that, because, with Xavier Johnson out, you're not going to have, that same, passing and style play. So you need, guys to hit down threes, especially if Trace is not playing how you want him to down low. So you need those guys to get open and hit those shots.
I think they showed this stat too last night against Elon. IU has the most bench points right now in the Big Ten. So no time like the present for the bench to step up here without Xavier Johnson. So hopefully he returns, by the end of the season. But the Indiana Hoosiers definitely have options with Trey Galloway, with CJ Gunn, Logan Duncombe. The list goes on and on. So we will see. We're not hitting the panic button by any means, but I think everybody is cautious, I would say, about this, the future of this team.
It depends. I mean, I guess.
I feel like we have the same conversation every year. And
we probably do.
It is.
Because last year, there was talk like, okay, this is a for sure tourney team. Don't have to worry about it. And then we go closer to the new year, Big Ten play, and we're like, okay, should we be cautious? What should we think about this team? We don't know. And then, we get into February, we're like, this team freaking stinks. They're not making the tournament. And obviously last year was an anomaly, because that comeback from Michigan, I just unheard of. And then you're not winning against Illinois. So you just sneak into the play-in game. But I'm so sick of just not, just being comfortable going into Big Ten play for the last 6 years.
I mean, I think the only exception with this team is I think they're just too good to not make the tournament. I'm not concerned about making the tournament. It's just not, I'm pretty sure all three of us picked them to win the Big Ten.
Living up to expectations.
That's what it is.
Yeah, and that's it. I'm not worried about the tournament, but obviously right now I think there's a very, very slim chance they win the Big Ten. I mean,
I agree.
Nothing. They were easy favorites at the beginning of the year just by looking at what's on paper.
And it's culture. It's the same things. It's different players, a different coach, but it's still the same culture, and that's something that I will never understand. It's the same team that comes out flat against good teams on the road, gets a big win at home, comes out flat next game on the road. It's those same things with different players and different coaches, and I just don't understand it. They need to break that mold, and I don't know what it's going to take. Maybe they'll figure it out during the year, but if they don't break that mold, I mean, they could very easily be a one and done in the tournament. Very easily. So I don't know what it's going to take, but until they get out of whatever, culture mode that they're in, I don't know. But I guess we're going to see. I mean, we got plenty of games left, so.
Yeah, and all the Big Ten games ahead of us, too. Then Nickel and I will be at the Northwestern game, actually, on January 8th. So they they have at Iowa and then a home game against Northwestern to re-enter into Big Ten conference play. So we spent about 20 minutes opening up the show talking about the Hoosiers. Let's move on to our overrated and underrated segment. It's been a couple months or a little over a month that college basketball has been going on, so we can kind of gauge on who's a little bit overrated and underrated. I'll let you two handle this segment. I'll steer the ship. So let's start off with the overrated team right now. And Nickel, I will go to you first here for your overrated squad.
So, I mean, I look down, you know, the AP poll. I could probably go with four teams right now just by how much basketball I've been watching lately. But I'm going to go Wisconsin. Right now they're ranked 17. I know they've had some decent wins, but, you know, this is a team that is like 90 in defense efficiency. I think they've just gotten kind of lucky last
few games. Did you just say 90?
Yeah, 90. Or not defense, offense efficiency. Offense, so their defense is top 20, but their offense is 90. And they just been squeaking out the close games. I mean, I know they've been winning at home, which you're supposed to do, but right now they're ranked 17. I don't think they're the 17th best team in the country. I mean, I would put a lot of teams over them right now, and they're sitting at 17 in the AP poll. And I think right now in KenPom, they're like, here, I got it right here. KenPom, they're 37. So I think the AP voters are a little overrated on them right now.
Yeah, I would say the Indiana Hoosiers are definitely overrated too, but I'm not. Yeah,
that was one of them. That was one of them. Yes. I was thinking of.
Well, we don't need to talk about them anymore, Aaron.
We talked about them enough.
Who's overrated in your eyes?
Well, I want to throw a couple honorable mentions.
Go for it.
I wanted to talk about like Creighton. Talk about six losses in a row. Talk about a fall from grace. This was a team
from Maui after Maui.
Last episode we talked about them being national title contenders,
and everybody thought they were national title contenders, and then now, I mean, they lost six games in a row.
Just by cold. Can't shoot right now. It's just, I don't know what it is, but they just can't shoot.
Absolutely bizarre. But, and then I think MSU has come down to reality too a little bit, but
I would agree.
But the one team, and I know there might be a little clapback on this because we're IU fans, but Kentucky, that's my overrated team. And I know notoriously Kentucky does start slow, but that is normally because they always have young teams. They always have a ton of freshmen. This team, this might be the most experienced team that Calipari's have. They're 7-3 and somehow still ranked. You know, you lose to an MSU team who's not even ranked anymore. They just lost to UCLA. They lost to Gonzaga. I mean, their only relatively good win that I could think of off the top of my head is like a 4-point win against Michigan. I mean, Yale gave them a run for their money. They only lost
to Michigan's been in some close ones against bad teams.
Right. And so to me, it's just like, how can this Kentucky team be ranked when every ranked opponent they've played, they've lost? And then, you know, a lot of their games are close against teams that they shouldn't be close against. I don't know. Would it surprise me if they turned around at the end of the year? No, it wouldn't. But right now at 7-3, I don't know how they shouldn't be ranked. They really shouldn't. I don't know why they are. I mean, just because they are Kentucky. But I a little bit of a tangent. There are some people I went to school with when I went my first year. All of them are Kentucky fans, and all of them want Coach Cal's head. They want him fired.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I think the flame. A lot of people think it's been the same old, and that's
fair criticism.
Kentucky needs a change, and maybe that they go get another big time coach. I mean, I'm not saying who's out there, but if they drew somebody from the NBA or somebody like Tony Bennett,
bring in Patino.
With Kentucky, I mean, ever since they had that 2015 team, when you had Devin Booker coming off the bench. You had the Harrison twins. You had Jamal Murray.
Was Julius Randle on that team?
Towns was on that team. I think Julius Randle was. I mean, that's the team that lost to Wisconsin in the national championship game. They went undefeated. So they went undefeated all the way to the Final Four, sorry, and lost to Wisconsin.
Yeah, ever since on the undefeated team.
Yeah. What was that?
Wasn't Anthony Davis on the undefeated?
No, Anthony Davis was the team that lost to IU with the watch shot.
But
then they won the national championship that year.
They won every game and then lost in the Final Four. Ever since then, Kentucky I just feel like hasn't been the same, and Cal's just not living up to the hype.
No.
I mean, they lost to St. Peter's last year. That wasn't great.
Well, what I think is happening to Kentucky is that they were the first school that really embraced the one and done.
Yeah.
And were really – you know, reaping the benefits of that early on, and now anybody can.
That just doesn't work anymore.
The NIL changes things.
Yeah, it does.
It does. And then transfer. Yeah, like with the transfers and everything, the transfer portal. You can't go that route anymore. I don't think. You just can't. You can't pick up all these top 15 players and, you know, start them and think they're good. But like you said, that's not this Kentucky team this year. They're actually experienced, and they have the national player of the year at their team. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Askashibe, Toppin's brother. Wheeler, I don't know. You know, again, I would not surprise me if they turn around and get hot at the end of the year, because that's normal Kentucky fashion. But I don't know. Right now, I just don't think they deserve to be ranked. So,
we'll see. I think that's fair. I like the Wisconsin, the Kentucky picks there for overrated. So, let's go to the underrated side of things, a team that we potentially should be keeping an eye out for a deep run in March, potentially. Nickel, what do you think?
Yeah, I dug really deep in this one. I'm going to go Charleston.
Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah, Charleston has one loss. It was against UNC and their second game, November 11th. Almost beat them, and then UNC kind of pulled away at the end. But, no, they have some quality wins, too. They beat Colorado State. They beat, I believe, Davidson. They beat a ranked Virginia Tech team. You know, now they're kind of playing more to their strengths right now. So they've been killing the teams the last, you know, 2 weeks or so. But that's a sign that this is a team, maybe they'll go through their conference, win their conference, and, you know, be maybe an 11 or 12 seed in March and, you know, make a run. So I'm like,
what conference are they in again?
Oh,
Big South.
I'll look it up. I believe it is the Big South, but no, it's not
Colonial Athletic Association.
Colonial Athletic, that's it. Yep.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure.
Powerhouse.
Yeah, they should probably win that conference. So Charleston's the team to watch out for. They're pretty decent this year.
Where are they sitting in KenPom currently? Do you know?
KenPom, they are sitting. Let's see.
They gotta be. I mean, if they're higher than Wisconsin, I love that pick. Wisconsin, I think he said was like 37. You probably can't find it because they might not be in the top.
Yeah, they're 100.
Nickel's like, here's an underrated gem for you, Charles.
They're 92 right now, just because
weak conference.
Weak conference defense efficiency, but and they're just their strength of schedule. That's what kills them, KenPom.
Hey, digging for that one.
I did.
It's hard early on.
They're receiving votes in the AP too. So, and like you said, this is a team to, you know, watch out for come March. I know it's still 3 months away, but you know, they run through their conference. Watch out for them.
Potentially the next St. Peter's. Keep an eye out. Aaron, give me your underrated team.
I've got a team that I think should be ranked that could be the next St. Peter's too. Is New Mexico. We're gonna go out west. Undefeated.
Never lost.
You know who's coaching that team, Kyle? You brought his name up before. It's his son, Richard.
Former Minnesota basketball coach.
Yeah, coaching their team out there. They're 12-0. They got three guys that average more than 16 points a game. So
balance.
This team right now, and granted, if I'm trying to remember what conference they're in, it's going to drive me nuts. Look up that KenPom, Nickel.
They're in the Mountain West, right?
Mountain West, that's correct. Yeah. All right, let's look up that KenPom real quick. KenPom guy.
Yeah, we got to have KenPom.
KenPom, they're 70. They're 46 on offense, 89 in defense, and, yeah, like what kills them against is their adjusted EM for strength of schedule and opponent.
Well, of course.
Yeah, who have they beat, Aaron? 12-0. Listen, who cares?
Listen, that's not a crappy conference out there.
No,
listen. I'm just telling you right now.
Listen,
we'll fast forward to when we get to March. I think this team will be sitting around that 12-5, where they're like the 12th seed, and that they're beating somebody. I'm telling you right now, they're winning their first game of the tournament.
Hey, he beat his dad on Sunday.
He did. Iona
82-74.
Yeah. So
their best win in a different direction when he said he beat his dad.
Oh, wow.
Their best win right now is over St. Mary's, which it was at St. Mary's. That's not
and they beat San Francisco too, who's normally always in the tournament. So I'm telling you right now, this is a team that's going to win the first game of the tournament.
January 14th is their first probably big test. Actually, January 7th or 14th, they have UNLV and San Diego State.
There we go.
So they start playing conference play.
Yep. Let's see what they got. But I think they should be ranked right now. I know they're getting a ton of votes. They just missed outside. So, but this is one of those teams, I think, come March, where they're a 12-11 seed that's going to make some noise. So, going with the Lobos out in New Mexico.
We'll make a mental note. December 21st, yeah, episode 3. If I have to go back and clip this, I will. I know you were on the South Dakota State train when we did our tournament preview, and I clipped that out hoping we were going to catch lightning in a bottle, but somebody's going to be right with one of these takes. We're going to get something right with the underrated. I'll give you one. Missouri. I think they've exceeded expectations a little bit so far.
True, but then their one test, they got absolutely annihilated.
Yes.
It's true. Yeah, give them another chance, you know.
All right, true. That's fair. That's fair.
Kansas coming up, right?
Yeah, I believe they do.
So.
Yeah. They do, yes. That'll Missouri. Be a good one.
Who has
Missouri versus Kansas.
They just played Kansas.
Oh, did they?
Oh, did they?
Kansas destroyed them. That was their one.
Oh, that was the one.
Destroyed
them. Oh, that's right. That's right. They played someone else, though. Decent, I think, coming up too.
Alabama, I believe. No, that might be it. I don't know. Illinois, that's it. Illinois.
Oh, that's what it is. Illinois, sorry.
Yeah, that's one of the two games we're going to somewhat preview, but let's go to this past Saturday because we had a lot of good matchups. The first one being number 5 Houston taking care of number 2 Virginia, 69-61. That's a big win for Houston on the road with Walker leading the way with 17 points. And 7 rebounds. A good bounce back spot there for Houston, wouldn't you say, Aaron?
Yeah, I feel bad for the people at home who bet Virginia. Oh, there he is laughing right there. I took Houston in that game just because I feel like Houston needed more. They lost, and I think they're a lot better team than what they showed in that loss. But I honestly think I'm not saying that Virginia's overrated, but were they number 2 when they played? Yeah, sorry. They're
now
not
they're 6.
Team. Yeah, I understand. But I don't think they're a top 10 team, period. So I think that was kind of a little bit of how they started. But I just thought Houston from top start to finish just needed that game. So wasn't shocked at all that they won. Just another good win for a title contender. I mean, they're the real deal. They are the real deal.
Virginia did lose again last night, too, to Miami.
So there you go. Well, see, I didn't even know that.
A little bit of a slide. Aaron brought up the fact that Nickel bet on Virginia. So you had to be a little bit surprised on the outcome of this one.
Yeah. I mean, I just thought in Charlottesville, Virginia's been looking great. Houston's a good team. We saw them get beat by Alabama while we were in Vegas. I thought like if Virginia at home, they would just keep it. But the last few games, even I saw highlights for that Miami game and then that Houston game, their shot is just not looking good right now. And that was one thing that shot them up the rankings was they were actually hitting their shots. Their offense was good, but they have one of the slowest paces in all of college basketball. I mean, they're in the 300s easily. So if they're not hitting their shots, they're not scoring a lot of points, and their defense just couldn't keep up with Houston's offense. So Houston just looked like the better team throughout. And I don't know, Virginia, it's a weak ACC, so I'm not too worried about them. I still think they might be the favorites to win it. Duke just, lost one to Wake Forest yesterday. So not worried about Virginia, but Houston, really good team. I mean, they're solid. Their ball movement is awesome. Marcus Sasser's awesome. So, but
Duke's another one of those teams that doesn't look too great this year.
Yeah. I mean,
it's same story. It's losing Coach K and losing Jay Wright, both those programs. It's just not an easy transition. It doesn't matter what recruits you get. It doesn't matter what happens. When you lose two figureheads like those two that have won multiple national championships, it's just not going to be an easy transition the next year. It's just
simply isn't. The thing we do too is they're technically their top two recruits are not even playing well.
No.
I mean, Derek Whitehead and Derek Lively, they just been they haven't living up to the hype. They're, Filipowski or whatever his name is the only one that's actually been playing well out of all the freshmen. They're starting 4 freshmen at Duke. So
yeah
I don't know. I just don't know how good they're going to be down the stretch.
I hate to say it, but is this Purdue's year? Question mark.
I think there is a lot more national title contenders this year than there were last year.
Yeah, there's a lot last year.
There's more parity, I guess you could say.
I think that's a better way of wording it.
Yeah. Yes. Because it's just been kind of bananas besides like a couple teams like UConn, like Purdue.
There's probably like 12 teams where if you like said, oh, they won the national championship. Well,
like right now, UConn, Purdue, like you said, they weren't even ranked top 25 at the beginning of the year.
So. Nuts. Nuts.
Like Jacob always says it, and he's kind of right. Preseason rankings don't mean shit.
Virginia wasn't ranked at the, I don't think.
Let me ask you guys this. That Kyle brought this up. It's a little bit of a tangent, but I think and you know what, granted, I'm not the biggest fan of Dick Vitale, but I know one thing that he said that I might kind of agree with, that there are no rankings until after the first, like, few weeks of college basketball. Like, nobody's ranked, and then you come out with the rankings.
Yeah, after. It should always
similar be to the college football playoff rankings they do after, I think, week six or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, something like that. Time. Just nobody's ranked.
Take it all
you
in.
Have everybody play, and then after the first handful of weeks of basketball, you then come out with your first ranking, which I kind of agree with because, like Nickel just said, neither UConn or Purdue were ranked, and now they're 1-2. You know what I mean? Yeah. So
essentially, rankings don't mean shit until you get to the tournament.
No,
anyways.
They don't.
I mean,
no, they don't.
It's just a number in front of your team's name if you're in the top 25. That's
it's
really
something,
all
it's
it
something,
is.
It's something for the press to do.
Yeah, it's something for the fans to talk about too. And that's, I mean, we talk about it here on the podcast. It's just, it is what it is, and it's always been that way. But I don't hate that idea that from Dick Vitale. Let's move on to this one. Gonzaga survives against Alabama in a high scoring affair, 100-90. Drew Timmy dominated in this one. This game was wild, scoring 29 and grabbing 10 boards. I mean, Nickel, these two teams, they showed you why they're two of the best offensively in the country.
Yeah, I really like these two teams. I mean, Brandon Miller from Alabama, he's a stud. He should be. I mean, even watching him, he just looks like an NBA player. I think he's going to be a top five pick. And then you know, Gonzaga, they're starting to, you know, they showed in non-conference. I know they lost to Duke, right? Or no, they lost to Purdue. And then who else did Gonzaga lose to?
I'm not 100%.
They lost to one other team. Why can't I think of it? They beat Michigan State on the aircraft carrier. They lost to Purdue, and they lost to someone. Oh, Texas.
They lost to Baylor by one.
Texas. Texas killed
them. And they lost to Baylor.
Yeah, and they lost to Baylor. Yeah, Texas killed
looking,
them. Yeah.
I know they were kind of up and down in non-conference. Not sure if even if they run the table in conference play, if they'll be a one seed. But Gonzaga can show what – you know, they showed that game what they can be and, you know, what they can do. They're a scoring machine, but so is Alabama. I mean, I think it was just a track meet. Really fun game to watch. I know we talked about that over-under and how it was so high, and it just shows why Vegas had that so high. I mean, they scored pretty much 200 points together.
I mean, with those two offenses, those are two teams that could really beat anyone on any given night, just so they can shoot. But, yeah. I mean, Gonzaga is truly battle-tested this year, which is something they've been doing over the past couple of years, is loading up that non-conference, which you definitely have to. But credit to them. This is a game they needed to win, and they got the W here, Aaron.
Yeah, I was actually pretty surprised because, Alabama's defense throughout the year has been a lot better. And so I figured – and then Gonzaga, one of their biggest weaknesses is they foul a ton. They do not play any defense, and all they do is foul. Like, Alabama was in the double bonus in both halves, like within like the first like 10, 11 minutes of the game. So I was fairly surprised that Alabama didn't win this game with how good they are on offense. And, you know, they're adequate, obviously, defensively. But, Gonzaga needed this win because, like Kyle said, they have to load their non-conference because then once they get to their actual conference, maybe St. Mary's is ranked every
San
once in a while.
Okay.
But after that, there's no competition whatsoever. So, it just turned into one of those high scoring affairs. I didn't really think too much of it, but, I just, this Gonzaga team has a lot. It's weird. With them having, they just have a lot of flaws, especially on defense. So,
yeah,
curious to see how it is going forward. But I just don't
the
think
the positive that they have is Drew Timmy, and we know how good he is.
He's a stud. Yeah, he's a stud.
He's the type of player that can carry you in the tournament for sure. So we got two more games here. We talk about from last Saturday. One of them being number 9 Arizona. They defeated the 6th ranked Tennessee Volunteers, 75-70. Arizona is now 11-1 on the year. A team I'm personally very high on. I think this is a potential national championship contender. What were your takeaways if you were able to catch this one against Tennessee, guys?
I took Tennessee first half, and that covered. And then Arizona turned it on a little bit. So, I agree with you. I'll be short. I agree with you. I think this Arizona team is a national title contender. And that's a really good win against a Tennessee team that plays really, really good defense. It was just a great win. So, I'm on board. Tommy Lloyd, man, they found a diamond in the rough there. Some assistant coach out of Gonzaga, you know, potentially might have in his first 2 years, two number one seeds, which would be kind of nuts. So props to them.
Nickel.
Yeah. Tennessee, you know, it was kind of tale of two teams. And Tennessee has a great defense, offense, and then Arizona, they have the number one offense, and their defense efficiency is like in 65 in the country or something. You know, the defense is a little shaky. So it was a good matchup. We caught some of it on Saturday night. But I think Arizona, I think one of their top teams in the country, kind of remind me of Purdue last year. You know, with their style, they, you know, they're great three-point shooting team, great shooting team in general. Their defense at times, though, they kind of give up a lot of points. You know, they even gave up a lot of points against IU. So if they get their defense a little bit better, I like the two guys down low. Their guard play has been actually better than I thought it would be. You know, this team is could be special, and I think right now they're a top five team.
No doubt. Spoiler
alert, but yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely say they're a top five team. Once they took care of IU, and it wasn't just because of how they took care of IU, I was like, now that I've actually seen Arizona play, because I don't get to see much of them, but them being on the West Coast, I'm like, yeah, this team's the real deal. And like you guys said, Tommy Lloyd's doing a fantastic job with that program. But one more game here from last Saturday. Kentucky loses to UCLA 63-53. We talked about it a little bit earlier when Aaron talked about them as being the overrated team, but the Wildcats just can't seem to get a win over a top team. Is this a testament of UCLA, you know, still being one of the better teams in the country, or do we think Kentucky's fraudulent, or is this just non-conference two good teams going at it?
It's a little bit of both. I think it's a little bit of both. I think UCLA is starting to turn it on a little bit, because I genuinely really think they're a top 10 team. I think they're going to start finding their stride here. And then Kentucky, you know, again, they notoriously start slow and then eventually figure it out as the season goes on. But they are not playing great basketball against good competition right now. So, yeah, I just think it's a little bit of both.
Nickel, we talked about there being, you know, parity and a good amount of national title contenders. Do you think UCLA could be one of those teams?
Right now, I would say yes, because ever since they had that little event in Vegas where they lost to Illinois and they lost to Baylor, man, they've been turning it on. I mean, easily beat Oregon. I know Oregon's kind of up and down this year. And then they go to College Park, Maryland, just blow the doors off of Maryland. It was 86, I think, like 86 or 87 to 60 they won. So that was huge. And then they go, you know, right to, you know, play Kentucky at a neutral site and win that game. So UCLA is a team I think to watch out for. You know, they go into Pac-12 play coming up next. And January 21st is the game to watch, because that's when they go to Arizona. And also, you know, another one too, Arizona State. They're actually playing some good basketball right now in the, you know, Pac-12 team. They're ranked 25 right now. So they actually go to Arizona State on January 19th and then to Arizona 2 days later.
Tough stretch.
Make sure they're just staying in Arizona and then playing Arizona. So tough stretch for them. But UCLA team, I like them. I watched some of this Kentucky game and
Did we lose them again?
And yes.
We might have lost Nickel again, guys. This is what happens, you know. Internet goes in and out. I think you're back.
Can you hear me?
Now you're back.
Anything else you want to add on? You're good.
I don't know what's the last.
It was just like the last couple seconds you just cut out, but I think you basically got all the points in as you are frozen once again there on our screen. Aaron, let's
shot.
Yeah, look at that. Everybody take a screenshot right now. Yeah, we can hear him in the background. I'm going to boot him for a little bit and let his internet come back. Let's go to the upcoming games here. And there's not many games coming up because of Christmas break. The only two that I really have here on the horizon is a game we talked about a little earlier. Number 16, Illinois, traveling to the 10-1 Missouri Tigers, who aren't ranked currently, but have, like I said, exceeded expectations a little bit. Illinois has three losses. I know we haven't really talked about the Fighting Illini, and we know the Fighting Illini Nation likes to talk about the Hoosiers a lot because, you know, for some reason they still can't get over that Eric Gordon went to IU, I think. But what do we think about Illinois and their chances here against Missouri?
I think they win. I just think Missouri came out hot, went undefeated. And then, you know, they got that rank stature on them because they play in the SEC. And
Missouri didn't win, beat anybody. I mean,
no, exactly. I think this is going to be a reality check again. Just like Kansas was, I think this is going to be another reality check where Illinois comes out with a win. So that's just all. That's what I'm thinking.
Nickel, do you think Illinois is underwhelmed so far? Or have they kind of gone towards
expectations? They've been so up and down, I feel like. I mean, at one point, you know, two, three weeks ago, I would think maybe, you know, this team's going to win the Big Ten. And then they lose at home to Penn State. And not just lose, lost by a lot. I mean, they got blown out in that game. Yeah, they were destroyed in that game. So I can't gauge this Illinois team.
I can't either.
It's just really hard right now. And I actually haven't seen a lot of them. I caught bits and pieces of that Penn State game because we were actually at the casino, I believe. I'm about to go to the MGM when that game ended. So was seeing a little bit of that. But, yeah, I can't just gauge this Illinois team. But like we were saying, I think Missouri is just – they just had a shit schedule, beat all the teams they were supposed to be in the first place, a lot of bye games. And then, you know, you play Kansas, they get whooped. And I think it's going to be the same instance with Illinois. I think I don't know where this game's at. Do you know by chance?
It's in Missouri.
It's at Missouri. I still think Illinois wins.
Okay.
I think Illinois is the better team.
I'll go with Missouri just because they're my underrated team. And I really don't care. They're, like I said, not much coming up. But next Wednesday, we have Alabama taking on Mississippi State in a top 25 matchup. Both teams coming off of a loss, looking to bounce back here in this one. Mississippi State, a team I haven't had the opportunity to watch yet this season, but it's going to be a tough one facing Alabama, regardless if it is a home game for Mississippi State.
Mississippi State's another Missouri. They didn't play anybody, and then, you know, finally played some competition, and which was only Drake, you know, Drake on the road. But Drake's a solid Missouri Valley team.
Drake's a decent team.
At least, I mean, they only scored 52 points against them. I don't know. That's one team we could have had probably in our overrated because they're, for whatever reason, they're ranked 15 right now. That's why the
Mississippi State.
Yeah, Mississippi State's a joke sometimes because their best win is probably Marquette.
Good Marquette team.
Marquette just had a bad loss yesterday. So
yeah,
Marquette is ranked right now. That's another team that just lost. But I mean, your best wins are Marquette, Minnesota, Utah, and Minnesota and Utah. I know Utah beat Arizona. I don't know how, but
somehow. When was that? Earlier in the year or just recently?
Right before the IU game, they lost. Yeah.
Oh, that was a bounce back spot for Arizona that I didn't even realize.
Yeah. And then Mississippi State just, even just before the Drake game too, they lost by two to Nichols State. So
another alma mater.
Yeah. I think Alabama whoops them. I don't care if it's at Mississippi State.
Okay, agreed. Fair enough.
Alabama's just too good of a team. They're offensive juggernaut.
Yeah, Alabama is a very good team, but when we get to the power rankings now, I don't know if they're going to be in the top five because that's what we always do. We go 5-1 and give our current power rankings for college basketball. I don't have any, so I'll let you guys go. Aaron, I'll let you go first. 5-1. Say a little bit about each team if you like.
Yeah, number five, Kansas. Just playing good basketball. One loss, just destroyed IU, even though I don't even know how good of a win that is anymore. But, you know, Bill Self's got another team. Grady Dick, the freshman, stud. And then you got Wilson, who's also a stud. So they got the guys, man. They're another team that's going to be right there. Number three, number four, I have Houston. Big win against Virginia. They're another title contender, too. They play phenomenal defense. They have an identity, and it's a tough identity to beat. But I have Arizona slightly ahead of them just because I've just been more impressed with Arizona's overall ability to play offense. I know they're not great defensively, but at the end of the day, I'll always take great offense versus great defense. So I have Arizona slightly ahead of them. Number two, I have UConn, team out of nowhere. They're a wagon. I mean, that they are a really, really good team. I don't know how they went from unranked to number two. It's pretty crazy, but
yeah.
But they
I
are,
still
they
haven't
are,
seen them play. I can't
oh,
even
they're a wagon. They do everything
they're
well.
They're a fun team to watch.
They do everything well. I mean, they just do everything well. And then number one, it's gotta be Purdue. I mean, it just has to be. They haven't lost.
Well, it doesn't have to be.
Well, true, but you know, you're undefeated, you beat Gonzaga, you beat Duke. It's one of the biggest shocks that I can remember because I just don't know how this team went from losing Jaden Ivey, losing Travion Williams. And now,
I mean, Jaden Ivey is a top five rookie right now in the NBA.
Yeah. And
because they're freshman, you know, guards.
Yeah.
Freshman guards are stepping up.
Yep. And so Braden Smith and Foster Lawyer. And then you have Edie, Lawyer, who's, yeah, who's, and like he's the Yao Ming of college basketball, just like John Rossi said. I mean, yeah, he's just an anomaly. So, yeah, they're number one.
Nickel, before you give your power rankings, ESPN Stats and Info tweeted this out about Iowa's loss today. So the Hawkeyes led by 8 at halftime before surrendering a 20-10 run to begin the second half and never reclaimed the lead. Iowa was favored by 30 points or more across multiple sports books against the previously 3-9 Panthers team, making this the biggest upset in men's college basketball in the past 30 years. That is insane to fathom right there, that that just happened today, the biggest upset in the last 30 years.
Is Murray back, or did he not play?
I couldn't tell you. I am not sure. This game was at a weird time. I would hope he's
not playing.
I kind of want to.
What, is he banged up, or was it you just didn't think he'd be playing against that team?
No, he's been hurt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he did play a couple games. I feel like he was going to be back, though.
That's fine.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I wasn't paying attention to an Iowa Eastern Illinois game that had a 37.5 point spread.
I could wait. Hold on, I'm looking at the stat sheet right now. I don't see his name on the box score, so he did not play.
No, he didn't play.
No, 0 minutes. Got it. Yeah.
Okay.
Still, that's a bad loss.
It is. Yeah. It is.
The stats don't lie. All right, Nickel, 5-1. What you got?
Kind of zoned out a little bit during Aaron's. But we might have the same. I think these top five teams were actually pretty easy to pick. I would actually, like, if we were doing a top 5-1, Arkansas would be probably right there. I mean, I think with Nick Smith back, they're gonna be good. So I would have Arkansas though at 6, but I would have to go Kansas 5. You know, Jalen Wilson, Grady Dick, great players. You know, we just saw what they just did to IU, even though IU's probably not playing the best basketball right now, but still a top 5 team. I would have to go Houston 4. Great win against Alabama. I know they've had a couple close games, though, but I still think they're one of the top-tier teams. Great defense, probably maybe the best defense in college basketball. Then I'm going to have to go Arizona 3.
So this is the same as Aaron.
Is it the same as Aaron? Yeah.
Arizona
3. I don't know what happened during that Utah game, but every other game I've seen Arizona play, they look like a top five team. They look like a national contender. When you have the best, you know, field goal percentage, and I think they're top five in 3-point field goal percentage, they're going to be hard to beat. So I have Arizona 3. UConn 2. This team just came out of nowhere. People really weren't talking about them, you know, going into this year. They weren't ranked. Now they're number 2, and, you know, they've had a couple close games, but they just keep winning, and they actually beat, you know, quality teams. So, and then Purdue number 1. I feel like I'm having deja vu.
A little bit of you is happy about this, former Purdue student.
Nah, well, yeah, I leave Purdue, and then they end up being good. What the hell? But
the Nickel effect, some are saying.
Yeah, and they'll probably lose to some shit school in the tournament again, but the one criticism I had of this team going into this year was guard play. And like I said, you know, their freshman guard, Fletcher Lawyer, Brandon Smith, they're both averaging, you know, double figures. You know, they both look like, you know, senior players. I mean, I don't know how many Purdue games you guys watch, but they take over games, you know, just keep feeding it to Edie. They run the point well. They're fun to watch. I know the last couple games, their shooting hasn't been as good. But
they struggled against Davidson.
Struggle against David, and then struggle against Nebraska too, kind of recently.
That's
so
true. And the refs helped them out in that Nebraska game.
I think they're gonna, you know, water's gonna find its level a little bit, but they're still. I mean, I think most of Big Ten play, they're gonna be tough to beat. They're gonna be always tough to beat at Mackey, and then I still think they'd be a top 25 team throughout the rest of the season.
Well, that's something we talked about in episode 1 with Matt Painter as their coach and just Purdue's consistency over the past decade.
Great culture
You can't count them out any year. It doesn't matter who's playing out there. They're always going to be there. And it's crazy to think that they are the number one team right now. It's hard to disagree with that point.
Matt Painter goes out and recruits these kids that are not nationally known, not nationally highly ranked.
It's going like, to like Lithuania.
The two kids, you know, the two point guards, they're Indiana kids. They just weren't ranked high. Brendan Smith, he was ranked in the 200s. He's from Westfield, Indiana. And then Fletcher Lawyer out of Fort Wayne. You know, he was like, you know, I think high 90s, around 100. But he's playing like a top 20 recruit right now. And then, like, yeah, Brendan Smith out of nowhere. And then even a lot of other people on that team, too, they're not top recruits and stepping up, you know, like Ethan Morton and Zach Edey was, I think, ranked in the 200s or something like that. So Painter has a way to do things, and it works out. Now they just need to put it all together because they lost to St. Peter's recently and then still don't have a national title. So till then.
Time will tell.
Whatever.
I don't know for sure when our next episode will be. Hopefully we can pump one out right after the new year, maybe the first week of January, right before Big Ten starts. Big Ten,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be a lot of in-conference matchups going on that we definitely can preview. Aaron, any final remarks as we close out episode 3?
I just hope IU turns it around. Otherwise, it'll be a long, miserable year.
Another miserable winter.
Yeah, miserable winter. Yeah, well,
this is IU too. Like every time it comes February, they just go on this huge losing streak. Like the last 3 years, I think they've lost 5-6 in a row in every February. So I just have a very, very, very bad feeling it's going to happen again.
Let's just hope don't not. Like it. Let's hope not.
Just trending that way. It's just trending again.
Without Xavier, I'm a little worried. I wasn't too worried, and then I saw that Kansas game, and I'm like, oh, fuck, here we go again. So hopefully by the 2 episodes from now, we'll be in a good spot. But I'm not going to count on it. But that's probably all we got for you guys this week. For Aaron O'Rose, Zach Nickel, I am Kyle Gagliardi. We will talk to you next time as our March to Madness continues.